A deal to raise the debt ceiling's been announced. Now comes the hard part.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Today, congressional Republicans and Democrats will once again gather to cast their votes on a tentative deal to raise the debt ceiling. President Obama made the announcement late yesterday.
The first part of this agreement will cut about $1 trillion in spending over the next 10 years. Cuts that both parties had agreed to early on in this process. The result would be the lowest level of annual domestic spending since Dwight Eisenhower was president.
Now, the possible deal has, so far anyway, calmed investor nerves. There had been fears the global economy could be hit with another financial crisis if default happened in the U.S. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
I see global markets are up somewhat, but to be honest, I expected some jubilation. Why not a bigger reaction?
Yeah, more a sigh of relief, I think, than a great whoop of delight. And yeah. There's a good reason for this. I mean, first of all, this is still not a done deal, of course. It's got to be voted on by the Congress. There's another factor, though. Mike Lenhoff, global equity strategist for stockbrokers Brewin Dolphin, says the proposed budget cuts won't impress the likes of S&P, Fitch and Moody's.
They aren't really near the kind of cuts that the credit rating agencies wanted to see. And so, you know, there's still the risk that we could see some downgrading in America's sovereign credit rating.
And a cut in the U.S. AAA rating could come as early as this week. That could hit investor confidence, further undermining the U.S. economic recovery. And that, of course, would be bad for the global economy.
It seems, Stephen, as if markets always stress out about something. If the U.S. deal does end up passing, where does the attention turn?
Well, that's a very good question. In fact, the spotlight is very likely to fall back again on Europe's debt problems. And now the U.S. appears to have averted default. Europe's debt crisis seems a whole lot worse.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
So, to that debt crisis that really won't go away in Europe, economists and politicians are still haggling over a planned restricted default in Greece. But some skeptics believe Greece should follow the example of Argentina a decade ago and embrace the default there. Ian Mount reports from Buenos Aires.
Riots hit the streets of Argentina in late 2001 as the country defaulted on some $100 billion worth of international loans. Confidence plummeted, and one in four people were unemployed. Yet many here say if Greece should default, so be it.
Nurses, police, doctors, teachers should not pay for the mess that their politicians and the banking system has got them into.
Argentina used the money it would have spent repaying loans to build schools, highways, and hospitals. In the decades since, poverty and unemployment rates have fallen by more than half. But while defaulting played a big part in Argentina's recovery, the fact that it had control over its own national currency was important, too. Alan Sibils is chair of the Political Economy Department of the National University of General Sarmiento in Buenos Aires.
It made imports more expensive, so it became more profitable to produce stuff here than to import it. Then the other thing is it made exports more competitive abroad, and so Argentina's exports also took off.
Greece can't devalue while it's locked into the euro. Its options are limited. Miguel Kegel was Argentina's national finance undersecretary in the late 1990s.
The way they are trying to restore competitiveness is by reducing domestic costs, which in many cases means nominal reductions in wages, pensions. Experience shows it's very, very difficult to get these improvements in competitiveness through deflation.
Kegel says that Greece should try to stay in the euro if it can, perhaps by issuing a parallel currency so it could control its money while the economy heals. That may seem drastic, but the Greeks may now have to consider options they once believed unthinkable. In Buenos Aires, I'm Ian Mount for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets around the world are mostly higher right now, average of about 1%. HSBC Bank says it's going to cut 30,000 jobs around the world to save money. That's in addition to other jobs the bank said it would cut, some of which are here in the United States. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 96 points to close at 12,143. For the week, And because of the debt ceiling uncertainty, the Dow lost more than 4%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines.
The start of a new school year is mere days away, and as states grapple with tighter education budgets, some families are being asked to share more of the cost. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
In Keller, Texas, near Fort Worth, riding the bus to school used to be free. Starting this fall, public school students will have to pay $185 a semester.
This is like banks continuing to add fees. You're just going to chase the customers away eventually.
That's James Guthrie with the George W. Bush Institute in Dallas. He says school districts feeling pressed for money are passing more costs on to parents. Last year, a chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union sued the state of California over the practice. Staff attorney David Sapp says schools are charging for basics like books and supplies. Activities like band and football can cost more than $1,000.
This is essentially a tax, and it's most painful and hardest on the members of our society that can least afford it.
Sapp says these fees are illegal in California. Bus fare to and from school is one of the few fees the state allows. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, the Easy Bake Oven is getting a makeover, an electric one. The Kitty Oven relied on one of those 100-watt incandescent light bulbs that burn hot as well as bright. That's what helped bake all those cakes and brownies. But newer compact fluorescent bulbs don't burn as hot, so the maker of the oven is reintroducing it with a new internal heating element. It's going to cost a little more, but you won't have to buy the light bulb. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.